Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning to you, Maureen.
Good morning, all.
And we're pleased to welcome as our guest the mayor of New Bedford, John Mitchell. Thank you for joining us, Mayor.
Great to be here, and thank you.
Mayor, this is your first time as a guest with us, so why don't you tell us a little bit about what are some of the highlights in New Bedford now and what you hope to accomplish during your fourth term, which you recently won election to?
Well, we're on a good run, and I'm sure nobody would expect a mayor of a city to say anything less, but the numbers bear it out. New Bedford has had tremendous growth in the last 5 years or so. We've added about 5,000 jobs to our city over that period of time. Last year, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, New Bedford had the sharpest drop in unemployment rate of any American city, almost 400 cities, which is quite an accomplishment, I would submit, for especially for a city that has had chronically high unemployment. We have a number of major investments in the pipeline right now, a new hotel about to open in the next few months, a number of new restaurants. Our manufacturers are doing well, and our port is doing very well as well. We have, as you know, we're the largest commercial fishing port in the United States and are growing our market share nationally in that sector. City government has become much more financially stable. We now have the highest bond rating in the city's history. Our school system has gotten its legs underneath it. We've made substantial progress in raising test scores, and our dropout rate is the lowest it's been in some 15 years. And the city is certainly elevating its quality of life. We're in right now up to five new public parks that we've built during my administration, and we've also built, as I think you've covered before, the new Harbor Walk and Cove Walk, which are these wonderful oceanside corridors on top of our hurricane barrier. So, you know, we've got a lot of work to do, but that's what we have in the rearview mirror, and I'm geared up for the next couple of years to keep a lot of that momentum going.
Let's go to a question from Maureen.
Well, how about your infrastructure? Now, you talk about, I was reading on your website that your interest is in education and infrastructure. What are your priorities into the future? I mean, you're doing well now, but how are you going to work on that to improve it?
Improving education, improving the performance of our schools, and investing in infrastructure are two pillars in long-term sustainability of any regional economy, of any city. But they're two very different undertakings. And as it pertains to our school system, you know, we've had a school system that was entirely dysfunctional when I got into office, to a school system now that is more purposeful, more accountable, and has a clearer vision for student achievement. We're about to undertake a superintendent search, formed a search committee for the next superintendent, and we're going to be diving into that very soon. In the long run, we not only want to see our kids succeed, we not only want our economy to be more competitive by virtue of school improvement, but we also want our schools to be a reason why people move to New Bedford. And that's really one of the primary purposes. And then infrastructure, of course, is good infrastructure. Is infrastructure that allows folks to get to from point A to point B, of course, but it also should be the basis for our businesses to be competitive in a global economy. It can make a big difference.
Your city's been famous since Melville's time for fishing. And I'm just wondering, aren't there some clouds on the horizon here? We look at the ground fishing, climate change. I know scallops are very strong, but are there some problems in the future, and how do you deal with that?
Well, Scott, there are a couple of major trends in the industry. One is that New Bedford, as the center of the fishing industry on the East Coast, is becoming is starting to monopolize the industry in a way where our market share is rapidly growing. In the last 2 years, we've seen a 67% jump in out-of-state boats landing their catches in New Bedford. The whole industry is starting to gravitate to New Bedford because the industry and other ports on the East Coast, it has been drying up, and there are landings, and the landings in those places aren't enough to support all the traditional ancillary industries that have supported fishing. So that's good news as far as it goes. We want more market share, but at the same time, we know that certain ground fish stocks have been depleted. You know, those that are traditionally associated with the New England fishery, such as cod, haddock, flounder, have all plummeted. Most of them have plummeted, some more than others. And so we've become more reliant on the scallop industry, which whose landings are about 80% of the total landings in the port. We know that we've got to continue to diversify. We have to continue to support the industry, both in terms of infrastructure, but also our advocacy. It's commercial fishing is a highly regulated industry, and making sure that the interests of commercial fishermen are well known and appreciated by regulators will be important for the foreseeable future.
Let's switch gears and talk national politics a little bit. Democrat Doug Jones won a dramatic and very narrow victory over Republican Roy Moore in the U.S. Senate race in Alabama this week. Mayor Mitchell, you're obviously a Democrat. How do you see the larger implications from this election outcome for Democrats and Republicans?
Well, I was pleasantly surprised by Doug Jones's victory. I think most folks felt that despite the revelations about Roy Moore, that it's Alabama after all, and the Republicans just have the upper hand. But, I don't know a lot about Doug Jones personally, but, as a former federal prosecutor, I can appreciate a guy like him coming into office and being a good representation a good representative of his state. I do think it is hard to draw broad conclusions from that race. The revelations concerning Roy Moore, it is that particular election may be seen as sort of unique and not exactly a trend. Although I will just add one point. It was significant. I thought that exit polls showed that the president has an approval rating of under 50%. In Alabama. I think that is a significant takeaway, and it might have national implications.
Maureen, some people expect Doug Jones to be voted out in 2020. Is this just a blip, or does this show some kind of dramatic change for Democrats in the Trump era?
I'd go down in the middle. I think it represents a change. I think it's really a turning point. And my take on this is I think the Republicans have to get their tax plan on the books, no matter what their disposition ideologically. But once they get that on there, I think you're going to see more moderate group of Republicans take a stronger stance. In other words, they've got something to run on. Whether it's good or not is another question, but they've got something to run on. And then I think there'll be pushback for some of the more extreme, asks from the Trump administration. And I think you're going to see the Republican Party coalesce around a more traditional base, given what's happened in Alabama and in Virginia.
Scott, how do you see the fallout from this election?
I think the professor's wrong on this one. I think this shows one thing. When Democrats actually get out and vote, they win. And I think that you have to say that this was because of black voters. And everybody talks about Trump and everything, but you have two candidates. One who put Klansmen in jail for blowing up kids in a church. The other one who says, slavery wasn't so bad. And you wonder who black people are going to vote for. 98% of black women voted for Doug Jones. Now, that's a number that we didn't even see in the old Soviet Union. So I think this was an energized African-American vote that largely turned this one.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable. Scott?
Great to be here.
Maureen?
Thank you.
And the mayor of New Bedford, John Mitchell.
Thanks a lot, Ian.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage.